And please do grab a Bible. We're going to have a short reading from our Bibles in a minute. But those of you that have been around over the last week or so, you'll know that we've been looking at four reasons why Christ died. There's loads of reasons why Christ died. There's loads of reasons why Jesus dying on the cross and coming back to life again is the most amazing news. We're just looking at four, and we're looking at reason number three this morning. But we're going to have our reading from Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. You'll find it on page 984 in the Black Bibles. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14, page 984. And as we read it, I'm going to read it and you can follow along with me. I want you to think, what is this telling us about one of the ways? Just maybe there's more than one way in here, but just think about one of the ways in which this is saying that actually Jesus dying on the cross is amazing. What reason for Jesus dying do we have in these verses? Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says this: "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." What I want us to think about this morning, we're going to think about these verses just for a few minutes, and then we're going to think about some different verses in just a few minutes. Brad, I'm not getting the clicker to work, so you might need to ping me on every now and then. I want you to think about law. I want you to think about rules. And think about, in your life, what laws are there that if you do one thing, you know there's going to be a consequence. You know there's going to be something that comes out of it. For example, when you're on the train, there's notices on these on the trains all the time that say, if you are abusive to staff, it will not be tolerated. The rules, the law on the train is really, if you are nasty to the staff, you will be kicked off the train. That's the law, isn't it? If you're really horrible to the person who comes to ask if you have a ticket, if you start shouting horrible things at them, and if you're really, really horrible, then you will be, they'll stop at the next station, the police will come on, they will take that person off. If you are nasty to the staff, you will be kicked off the train. That's a law. You do one thing and there is a consequence. What about parking? Let's think about parking your car. Parking's a bit tricky around London, I know. But if you park in the wrong place, you will get a parking fine. That will happen. I mean, on the screen we've got an example of a really, really bad parking job. But actually, you will get a parking fine for, and I think there you might get more than just a parking fine. But that's the law of parking, isn't it? If you park in the wrong place, you will get a fine. If you have parked in the wrong place, then that fine is probably coming in the post. There will be consequences. You do something wrong, there are consequences. Or let's think about libraries. What's the law in a library? Sometimes at church as well, isn't it? And if you are noisy in the library, you will be asked to leave, won't you? If you're on the side and you're laughing away at something, you're watching a video on your phone and it's on maximum volume and, this is hilarious, it won't be long before someone comes along and says, right, you need to leave. That's the law of the library. If you are noisy in the library, you will be asked to leave. We have laws in our society all around. If you do this, you will have this. If you do this, you will face this. And there's, you know, being noisy in a library, there's parking in the wrong place, there's being nasty on a train, but there's more serious laws, aren't there? If you punch someone in the face out on the street, if you really badly hurt someone or even kill someone, if you do something like that, you will face consequences. There will be a serious punishment. What we're talking about this morning is the law of God. And in those verses we just read, we It tells us about ourselves and actually a law that we have broken. On screen, you're going to see those verses that we just read, but I want you to look at the red words. These red words talk about us and the things that we have done wrong. It says this, "You who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive, da-da-da-da-da, the record of debt that stood against us." Just look at the red letters. Dead in our trespasses. Trespasses is another word for sin. With a record of debt standing against us. What this is saying, really, it's summarizing. It's saying we were dead in our sins with a record of debt standing against us. So the law of God is basically, this verse is telling us about the law of God, and it's saying this, if you sin against God, you will face death. If you sin against God, you will face death. And because we have all sinned, we all face death. If we have all sinned, then we all face death. And so what we're seeing in the story of Easter, right at the beginning, as we recap and as we look again at why Jesus died, there's a reminder here of where we naturally are. Death is coming for those of us who have sinned against God. If you're in the train and you've been really abusive and you're just sitting there and you think, oh, that was all right, I can do whatever I want, someone is coming to kick you off that train. If you're in the library and you're being really, really noisy and you think, oh, I can do whatever I want, well, someone is coming to take you out of the library. If you've parked wherever you wanted to and you just thought, I can park wherever I want, well, the fine is coming in the post. And for us as human beings who have sinned against God, and the Bible says all of us have sinned against God, then death is coming for us. And it's not just death at the end of life death. It's forever death. It's forever separated from God death. That's the first part of the message of Easter. But the second part is this. Have a look at these verses again. And again, look at the red text that is going to come up on the screen. It says this. You who were dead in your trespasses, that's what you were God made alive. God forgave us. God cancelled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He nailed it to the cross. So we were dead. We had a debt of sin before God. But God has made us alive again. And where has he done that? He's done that on the cross. So the reason number three, of all the four reasons we've been looking at, is this. Jesus died to pay our debt before God. And while we've looked at the fact that Jesus died to pay our debt before God, we accrued that debt, but Jesus died for us. But now we're going to think a little bit about how we should respond. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn up page 864 in your church Bibles, where you'll find Luke 7. And we're going to read a story in Luke chapter 7 from verse 36 to 50. And Paul is going to read that for us.
So it's page 864, Luke 7, from down the bottom of the page, verse 36. Under a sinful woman forgiven. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt. And he said to him, you've judged rightly. Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
Thank you, Paul. Well, this is a story that takes place at a dinner party. You probably know the story. A lot of you might have seen it before. Some of you might not have done. But you've got Jesus reclining at table, it says here. I'd like you to keep the passage open in front of you, by the way. I'll be pointing out things here and there as we go along. But you've got Jesus reclining at the table. So it's not tables and chairs. It's more like futons with low tables around. And then a woman comes in. And this woman does something really strange, doesn't she? It's very strange. And it's not a normal thing to do in a dinner party. The person who's invited Jesus to this dinner party sees what the woman does and thinks, this is really weird. Woman comes in, she's crying, she uses her tears to wet Jesus' feet, and she washes his feet with her tears and with her hair. Good thing she didn't have a buzz cut. And people are sitting around and they're looking and they think, this is bizarre. And she breaks open a bottle of perfume. It says it's alabaster jar of ointment. And from other parts of the Bible, we know this was worth a lot of money. And so people are looking at what is happening here. And there's various different reasons that people don't like what's going on. But most people in that room, seeing what the woman is doing, think, this is weird. Notice that the person who invited Jesus in verse 39, he says to himself, if Jesus really was all of that, he'd know what she's like and he would not have any of this. The reason he thinks this is really wrong is because the woman is sinful. If he knew this woman, if he knew what she'd done, if he knew what she was like, he would never let her do this. Other parts of the Bible, we see that people really did not like how the woman took the perfume and wasted the perfume on Jesus. It was worth an awful lot of money. But she comes in and you can tell in just her actions that for her, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It doesn't matter what everyone else sees. It doesn't matter what everyone else thinks about Jesus or about her. She loves Jesus. Everything that she's doing here is not for anybody else but for him. He's the only one that matters to her at this point. But notice the person who's invited Jesus thinks to himself, his name is Simon, and he's thinking, this isn't right. At a dinner party, darling, of all places. Jesus knows what he's thinking. Look in verse 40. And he says, Simon, I have something to say to you. And Simon says, okay, say it, teacher. What is it you've got to say? And Jesus tells this story. And hopefully we'll have some slides to help us walk through the story in a few moments. But if we don't, then try to focus on the passage. We've got a moneylender. A moneylender who gives money to two different people. He gives a lot of money to one person and a smaller amount of money to another person. And these people use this money. We don't know how, but they use it. But then it's time to pay it back. And neither of them can pay it back. And both of them are worried. We talked earlier about the law. The law when it comes to money lending is that you pay back what you've borrowed. And if you cannot do that, there are consequences. Maybe someone will take something else, your house or your car, in order to satisfy that debt. But if there's nothing to take back from you, then you might have to go to prison. There is a law. And so in this story, both people owe something to the moneylender. And at this point, it doesn't matter how much each of them owes. They both owe. Everybody owes. Everybody is in trouble. And nobody can pay it back. But in the story, the moneylender cancels the debt. The moneylender says to these people, he says, it's okay. I'm cancelling the debt. Neither of you has to worry about it anymore. You both owed me money. You both were in a situation where you were in trouble because you could not pay what you had to pay to me. But you know what? It's okay. I'm cancelling the debt. And then Jesus says there's a difference between the two people. One of the people and their reaction, they just sort of go, okay. And the other person says, thank you so much. And Jesus asks Simon, he asks him, he says in verse 42, person, both of them have their debts cancelled. He says, which of them will love the moneylender that's cancelled their debt more? Which one will be more grateful? And he says, the one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt. And Jesus is saying, well, that's what this woman is like. This woman has come into this room to say to Jesus, thank you, with absolutely everything that she has, no matter what anybody around her thinks of her. She is like, you know, you can imagine a little emoji face on her. She's the one saying, thank you. And the people around are the ones who are going, meh. Even more than that, saying she shouldn't be here. She shouldn't be doing this. This is a story of somebody who realizes just what Jesus has done for sinful people. We thought earlier, didn't we, about the fact that we have all sinned before God. And because we have all sinned before God, we will all face death. That's the law. That's what the Bible makes clear. And when it comes to that law, there is nobody who says, well, I have sinned less than somebody else, so I'm okay. That doesn't exist. When it comes to this law, we have all sinned. We all face death. We are all standing before God himself, the holy, perfect one. And we have all sinned. And so we all face death. But what we've seen already is that Jesus died to pay our debt. What we remember at Easter, when we see the Lord Jesus dying on the cross, when we sing of the Man of Sorrows, we sing of him who came and paid our debt for us. We're talking about ourselves. We were the people for whom death was coming, living in this life, carrying on like everything is totally normal, but walking closer and closer and closer to a forever death, separation from God. What the Bible sometimes refers to as hell. Like somebody sitting on the train who's been abusive to a member of staff and the people are coming to kick them off and they just don't know it yet. Somebody who's been really noisy in the library and thinks I've got away with it, but someone is just coming right now to eject them. We are the people who live with death hanging over us. It is what we are heading towards, but Jesus has taken that for us. Jesus has died on the cross for us. It's a little bit like this. Imagine those two debtors, but instead of money this time, it's the cross. The message of the cross for sinful people like you and me is, it's okay. Jesus has died on the cross, and so your debt before God, the death that you deserve, has been paid. You needn't fear a forever death separation from God because Jesus has done it for you. It's okay. And so now the big question that we need to ask is, how do we respond? Because we'll be probably one of two things this morning. We'll either be like the woman who says, thank you so much, because she knows how much her sins needed to be paid for. Jesus says this. He says, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. She comes in like this. She treats Jesus like this because she knows what he has done for her. He knows the weight. She knows the weight of her sins, and she knows that he has paid all of it. The interesting thing I think for you to notice, if you're a Christian here this morning and you're familiar with the Easter story, just notice Jesus points out to the people around just what they have not done for him. I entered your house, you gave me no water, verse 44. Verse 45, you gave me no kiss. Verse 46, you did not anoint my head with oil. It's very easy for us this morning to think, oh, I know Jesus. I know he's died on the cross. And yet for our relationship with him to be marked by all the things we do not give to him, all the things we do not do for him, all the areas of our life that we still say, no, that's for me. Jesus can have my Sunday mornings, but my job is for me, and my family is for me, and my lifestyle and my hobbies, that's for me. Jesus points out to these people here that he says, your relationship with me is all about what you did not do. You have not done. And for you, actually, what it's like is Jesus dies on the cross for your sins, and I've heard it every year. But for those who realize what it means to be a sinner standing before a holy God, and then to see that someone has come to take your sin away from you, has died your death for you, and who says to you, your sins are forgiven, then the only response is, thank you, isn't it? And you don't have to mimic that face with the tears in your eyes and your little smile. But if you believe in the Lord Jesus and you believe that actually he has died on the cross for your sins, then that is the response, isn't it? Thank you. I think the challenge to us this morning is, which side do we look most like this morning? When it comes to the cross, when it comes to the message of Jesus, dying on the cross for your sins. If you're on one side and you're saying, thank you, Jesus, then maybe you get it. If you're on the other side and you're saying, nah, it's probably because you think your debt before God is not that hard to erase, and your sin before God is not that big a problem. So, Jesus came to pay our debt before God. Let's just have a moment of quiet. Let's think realistically, which one of those emojis describes you best this morning? And let's say thank you for those of us who have seen what Jesus has done. Let's say thank you. And if you're not sure where you're at, then pray that God would show you what your response should be. Let's pray, shall we? Just quietly on our own, and then I'll pray in a few moments to wrap it up. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus did come and did die on the cross for us. We thank you that you yourself paid the price for the sins that we have committed against you. We pray that you'd help all of us in this room to realize the significance of that. And we ask that you would help us to respond in the right way. Amen.